Are you enjoying this podcast? Well, you have KUOW members to thank for that. KUOW members make the trusted local journalism and storytelling you hear on this show possible. Become a member today and help support the production of this podcast. It only takes a minute. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
Good evening. From the KUOW newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Here are today's top stories. It's Wednesday, April 24th. Starbucks is up first. Today, our local coffee conglomerate resumed negotiations with the workers' union, ending a long impasse. Monica Nicholsberg has the tea.
Ari Bray has worked for Starbucks for about 5 years. It's how they get health insurance to pay for an expensive Crohn's disease medication. But Bray has to work an average of 20 hours a week to maintain that insurance, which isn't guaranteed.
I don't like how precarious that is and how the price of it can change from year to year. I would really just like that to be a little bit more stable so that I don't have to possibly be on the hook for $10,000 on short notice.
Bray is one of 5 delegates from the Seattle area who traveled to Atlanta to negotiate with Starbucks. They're fighting for more control over their schedules, higher wages, and better health insurance benefits. Starbucks says it will work earnestly with Workers United to negotiate a contract by the end of the year. Monica Nicholsberg, KUOW News.
Safety concerns surrounding Boeing's manufacturing have lost the company $355 million in the first quarter. The company revealed the revenue loss today in its earnings report. Boeing CEO David Calhoun says the company is in a tough moment, and its focus is on fixing its manufacturing issues, not the financial results. Company executives have been forced to talk more about safety than finances after a door plug blew off during an Alaska Airlines flight in January. Boeing said the first quarter loss was $1.13 per share, which was actually better than analysts had forecast. The man killed by Seattle police last week was a retired Navy doctor who'd led medical operations at Guantanamo Bay. He was under suspicion of soliciting sexual activity with minors in Tukwila. The medical examiner has identified him as 67-year-old Bruce Koval Manili. During his decades as a naval doctor, military reports show he was commander of U.S. Naval Hospital Guantanamo Bay, the U.S. base in Cuba, for 2 years. Seattle police say when attempting to arrest him at a hotel last week, he displayed a gun and 2 officers fatally shot him. The incident is now under review by SPD's Force Investigation Team. To police union issues now. We've talked about the new police contract proposed in Seattle, and now we're hearing it falls far short of the goals that community watchdogs want to see. Amy Radel has more.
One of the co-chairs of the Community Police Commission, Joel Merkel, says the tentative agreement with the Seattle Police Officers Guild contains only minor improvements to police discipline and accountability, along with a retroactive pay increase of 23%. He says the commission remains focused on implementing stronger accountability measures.
The tentative agreement that retroactively increases pay does not do that, and for that reason, it's not enough for us.
Merkel says the commission had to read a leaked version of the contract because they didn't have official access to it until this week. He encouraged people concerned about the contract provisions to contact the mayor and their city council members, who must still vote to approve the agreement. Amy Radel, KUOW News.
A King County audit has found that youth are spending longer stretches in juvenile detention and that understaffing is leading to too many lockdowns. Ann Dornfeld explains.
The auditors found that the average length of stay in juvenile detention has tripled since 2017 to 36 days. Auditors say that's a problem because juvie does not provide services like the kind of mental health or substance abuse treatment youth receive in long-term facilities. Auditor Grant Daly says understaffing is also an ongoing problem.
Continuing staffing shortages in the facility contribute to low staff morale, high turnover, and disruptions to services for youth in secure detention.
Without enough staff to supervise, youth go on lockdown and can't attend school and other activities at the facility. The auditors recommended that the county improve access to programming and other services for youth awaiting trial, and that it works to improve staffing and reduce the amount of time youth spend locked in their cells. Ann Dornfeld, KUOW News.
Activists have painted a street mural in downtown Seattle in protest of the war in Gaza. On 2nd Avenue in front of Seattle's federal building, they painted last night, "No funds for genocide, let Gaza live." But as of this afternoon, The Stranger reports it appears SDOT may have painted over those words. We're still waiting to hear from the city on how they're responding to the art and whether they did paint it over. The local chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace helped organize the mural. The Puyallup tribe now has an additional 17 acres of waterfront property to call home. That's the result of federal legislation that was signed into law by President Biden last week. Congressman Derek Kilmer was one of the bill's champions. He says it will ensure that the federal government upholds its trust and treaty obligations.
It's not just about land. It's about enabling the Puyallup tribe to further diversify and expand economic opportunities to spur job creation at the Port of Tacoma and along the Tacoma waterfront, a vision of prosperity that benefits not only the tribe, but the entire South Puget Sound region.
The legislation also gives the tribe access to tax-exempt financing, discounted leasing rates, foreign trade zoning, and new market tax credits. The tribe says it'll bolster efforts to develop a container terminal and the only tribally run deep water port in the country. Finally today, WNBA legend Sue Bird has joined the Seattle Storm as part owner. The team and its former guard announced the big news today. Bird, who spent 20 years with the team, says investing in women's sports isn't just about passion, it's smart business. The Storm season tips off May 14th. Next time on Seattle Now, I take a walk with Taha Abrahimi, author of the new book, Street Trees of Seattle. And she shows me some gems you can find in Georgetown.
This is a Chinese crab apple. Isn't it gorgeous?
Oh, it's so pretty. It's like a deep pink.
It's fuchsia. It's like electric fuchsia with these brown leaves.
That's Thursday morning on the podcast. And that's a wrap from the KUOW Newsroom in Seattle. Our producer's Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.